Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today. Another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with you, our listening guest. We appreciate you, thankful for you and your participation in this broadcast so often. You can participate today by calling 831-0917, 831-0917. Join in the dialogue and discussion at any point during the course of this broadcast. Before we get into the monologue, the dialogue and discussion in relationship to the subject today, let me remind you that tomorrow, on tomorrow's broadcast, Let's Face the Issue, we'll be talking about honoring our mothers, honoring our mothers. And on the broadcast tomorrow, we're going to be inviting you to call in and give a brief word of testimony of your mother, what she means to you, and your recollection of your mother, and what she did that instilled truth in your life, that molded and made your life what it is today. Looking forward to that broadcast tomorrow, and the broadcast will be totally devoted to you, our listener, and you will make up the broadcast tomorrow, and your call-in, dialogue and discussion, and your recognition and remembrance of mother, and what mother means to you, and the change, the indelible difference that she made in your life. So as we think on that, let me remind us today that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of what I think or feel, or what some denomination might say with the dogma and the ritual and the regulation, the rules within that denominational dogma, but it's what does the Word of God say? I have said so many times on this broadcast that we need to go back to the foundational study of the Word of God. See what God's Word says. It is the book of all books. It's the book of truth. And as we study the Scripture, we need to understand, as Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus identified truth. He said, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues each day on this broadcast, we do so based on the truth of the Word of God. It's not a matter of some ideology or philosophy, but the truth of the Word of God. Today, we're going to be talking about a subject that perhaps you've considered, a subject perhaps you've dealt with, a subject that perhaps you have questioned or that you have had others to question you in relationship to it. It is the question of eternal security, eternal security. And that eternal security question boils down to this. When a person gets saved, when an individual is born again, can you ever be lost again? That's the subject. That's the question. And the bottom line is with that question, and some have asked so profoundly, very recently had an email on that question. If I sin, will I lose my salvation? If I sin, will I lose my salvation? Ladies and gentlemen, that's a very powerfully serious question that needs to be dealt with, understood, put to rest, and there can be comfort and assurance and that sense of ease when you have the answer to that question. Some years ago, when as I think on that subject, I think about it, some years ago, and it's not been on the radio broadcast for many years now, don't know what took place with the clinic, but there was a clinic, I believe it was found in Richardson, Texas, but it was a clinic that was the Menrith Meyer Clinic. You might recall that if you have been an avid listener to Christian radio for any length of time. But on the broadcast day by day, Dr. Menrith and Dr. Meyer would bring about and bring to the forefront the microphone particular subjects in relationship to Christians as interrelated with their psychological counseling, with their Christian counseling for their patients. But they had a 99-bed clinic. And on one of their daily broadcasts, and I'll never forget the broadcast, on that particular daily broadcast, Dr. Minrich said, and I quote, "We could vacate," I think he used the word empty, 90% of our beds if, and that was the if now, if our patients would simply confess their sins before God and get right before the Lord, end quote. It's a powerful statement. What was he really saying? What was the bare point of his statement? His answer is that Christians, if Christians would deal with sin, confessing sin, forgiveness of sin, if Christians would simply deal with sin, emotional and mental and psychological and physical issues and problems that are the outgrowth of that could be resolved. Ladies and gentlemen, there are many today because of unconfessed sin causes them to worry and have anxiousness and anxiety and fear and often will cause discomfort mentally, emotionally, and oftentimes physical debilities as a result of unconfessed sin. Yet multitudes of people today that believe that they are saved worry and wonder and are anxious over their salvation. The question that many are asking, as I couched a moment ago, if I sin, will I lose my salvation? Ladies and gentlemen, I'd be petrified to think that somehow, some way, that after I've said yes to Jesus Christ, I've got to keep pedaling that bicycle, as it were, to stay upright and not fall over, because it would mean calamity of calamities in my life. Is it possible to be saved and commit sin and to be lost again? That's the question that begs to be asked and answered. The fact is that many denominations today teach that you can be saved, and if you commit a sin that is overtly or just as in the thought process, that you're automatically lost again. I'll never forget watching a television broadcast a number of years ago, and it was a pastor baptizing a dear lady, and she came up out of the water and clapped her hands and said, "Praise God, thank you, Jesus. This is my 99th time of being baptized." I thought to myself, "Lady, you better get saved before you get washed away." There is a real problem in society today among Christians, among denominations, that's teaching bad theology that says that somehow, some way, that you can get saved and lost, saved and lost. That's a yo-yo, saved and lost. You know, if God's building us a mansion in heaven, the idea is that God's got a building and wrecking crew in heaven. You get saved, it says, build her up. You get lost, it says, tear her down, build her up, tear her down. That'd be a sad plight to live. Some say that a person can be saved and still live in sin, and there's a problem with that. So how many times do you need to sin before you can lose your salvation? Does it take one sin, two sins, perhaps 100 sins? How many sins does it take to lose your salvation? Ladies and gentlemen, we have on the microphone with us today Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is a Bible and theology professor in Conservative Theological University. It's always my joy to have Dr. Phelps on the set with me, that we can talk about theological, doctrinal, biblical issues together. And I pray that your listening today will be a challenge to you and an encouragement as you listen. Dr. Phelps, delighted to have you with us today. You've heard the monologue. You've heard the introduction to the statements. So, Dr. Phelps, welcome to the broadcast. And we're going to ask a few questions and have a little bit of a dialogue and discussion for the benefit of our listeners today. But the key question, Dr. Phelps, can a person be saved and not know it? Can a person be saved and lose the salvation because of sin? Is a person a sinner because he sins? So let's talk about that for a moment. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for what God is going to say to our listening audience that will be beneficial to them in relationship to salvation, sin, salvation, and security in Christ. So talk with us about that issue.
I'm so glad that I can speak to that issue today and with confidence, because I have read what God tells us in the Bible.
Amen.
What happens when a believer sins is discussed in the Bible.
Yes.
If anyone of the family of God sins, what happens? And the answer is that person will need to deal with the sin problem according to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do we deal with sin? Scripturally, that is, as God instructs. 2 Timothy 3:16 is a good verse to think about with respect to this question. Bible tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Mm-hmm. And so the Word of God not only instructs us about sin, but tells us what we should do in every area of life. We're not to deal with sin as the first sinners did. Back in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve chose not to heed God's word, but to hear the devil. The devil told Adam and Eve a lie. First of all, he questioned the word of God. Yea, hath God said? And then he denied the word of God.
Yes.
And then he slandered the character of God, because he told them, God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So what happened? Instead of being as gods, knowing good and evil, Adam and Eve knew the evil consequences of choosing to disobey God. Sin ruined their fellowship with God. People were originally created in the image of God to have fellowship with Him. Instead of the happy meeting with the Lord every evening in the cool of the day, they hid themselves from His presence. Sin ruins the fellowship with God.
Dr. Phelps, that's a very, very pronounced statement, and profound in its essence, but it's very, very clear and biblical. But may I ask a question that I believe our listeners may have? Does a person become a sinner because he sins, or is he born a sinner?
The Scriptures teach us throughout, especially in the book of Psalms and in the book of Romans, that we are sinners by our relationship with Adam. We're children of Adam. Our first parents sinned, and therefore each of us has sinned. As by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In fact, when we talk about this problem with sin, the Scriptures teach us that that's a universal problem.
We're born sinners. We have that Adamic blood in our veins. And as a result of that, as I tell people so often and all times used as an illustration in a pulpit message, when that little toddler is walking around in your home and reaches over and pulls something off the coffee table or off the bookshelf or whatever, and you slap him on the back of the hand and say, no, don't do that, doesn't take it about 30 seconds to turn around and he's doing it again. And it's because of that sin nature, and that sin nature is rebellion against God. Dr. Phelps, tell our listeners, let's talk about this for a moment. Then we want to make a transition as to what we do with sin. But tell our listening audience, what is sin? Specifically, what is sin? Is sin just a wicked thought? Is sin a wicked deed? What is sin? Let's recognize now two or three things at the outset. The Bible says that we're born sinners. As a result of being born into the world, we have Adamic blood in our veins. That is sinful, fallen nature blood. And as a result of that, we are sinners. But what does that connote, Dr. Phelps? What is sin?
In the book of 1 John, we find that the Bible tells us that sin is the transgression of the law. And I think what that means is it's not just a transgression of the Ten Commandments, but it's a violation of the will of God. Sin is a disposition of enmity, rebellion against God.
Right.
And sin is that inner part of man, especially in fallen human hearts, the inner control center of human beings, where all of the decisions of life are made. According to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, that sin is from the heart, comes out of the heart. Jesus said that in Matthew 15, 19, that evil things come out of the heart. Romans 8, 7 tells us that when we act in the flesh, we're acting contrary to the will of God. So it's enmity against God. It also includes evil acts. Sin is acted out in conduct of such specific behavior as murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and blasphemy. You'll find that taught in the book of Romans chapter 1 and chapter 3 and Galatians chapter 5. But also, sin is entertaining wicked thoughts, contemplating evil. The human heart is the source of wrong thoughts and premeditated wrongdoing. Sin includes evil thoughts, attitudes, intents, and impulses. For example, in Ephesians 5, we're told about covetousness. That's wanting things that we shouldn't have, or we do not deserve, or we do not need. It is entertaining wicked thoughts. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, if a man looks on a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery with her already in his heart. So the problem is that there are many things we could say about sin, what it involves, but which sin do you commit today? Which sin have you already committed? Which sins are not already confessed today? Another thing about sin is omission, which means we know that we should do certain things, but we do not. We fail to do what we know we should. James 4:17 says that's sin. Sin is error, to behave in a manner contrary to the truth of the Word of God in opposition to faith is sin. It's unbelief. Think of the effects of sin in your life and mine when we act contrary to the will of God. It may include lying, pride as an arrogant attitude, guilt, a consequence of transgression. Conscience, as you know, is the inward awareness of any violation of God's commandments. And fear. Adam and Eve, when they heard the voice of the Lord God in the cool of the evening, they tried to hide because of fear. And so fear is one effect of being alienated from God. Think of the extent of sin. According to 2 Chronicles chapter 6, the Word of God tells us there is not anyone that sins not. And so it's common to all. But another thing about sin is enslaves. Romans chapter 6 tells us that when we commit sin, we become a servant of sin.
That's right. So, Dr. Phelps, it's a good overview of sin. So let's just make a transition for our listeners today. So I think we recognize that we've all sinned. We're born sinners. We come into the world with a sinful heart, a wicked heart, with a heart that is adverse to anything that's good and godly. And so what do we do with sin? What is a person to do with sin? How do we rid ourselves of the penalty of sin? How do we become born again? How is a person saved? And now for our listening audience, let me remind us that we're not saved by some magical potion. We're not saved by being a good person. We're not saved by being a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, or anything else. We're not saved by doing good works, as is taught in so many religions today. We're saved, and in salvation, Dr. Phelps, explain to our listeners how a person covers that sin. What do we do with that sin? How is that sin remitted, is a biblical term? How is a person saved, born again? And then after we discuss that, so we will have talked about sin, we'll talk about salvation, and then we'll talk about security, eternal security. How do we get saved and know we're saved? But first of all, share with our listening audience today. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood, and I'm talking today with Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is a theology and Bible professor at Conservative Theological University, and I believe that what we're having to say today is so pertinent for so many listeners. We're talking about eternal security. With the basic question, if we get saved, when we get saved, if we sin, does that mean we're lost again and we've got to get saved again? That's the bottom line, and that's the question, that's the anxiety that mega millions suffer with around the globe today, and we need to deal with that issue. So, Dr. Phelps, share with our listening audience today. So we all recognize we're sinners. What do we do with that sin? How do we remit those sins? How are they remitted before the Lord?
When the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the people at Thessalonica, he had been doing some preaching there. He preached the Word of God, and they trusted in the Lord and became, as we say, became Christians. Now, here's what he wrote in his first epistle to the people at Thessalonica, and to that church, he commended them not only for their faith, but he says in 1 Thessalonians 1:9, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God.
Amen.
And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That verse and others throughout Paul's writings teach us that there should be a returning or a repentance on the part of a person. After hearing the gospel, then we turn to God from sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a matter of repentance. There's a matter of receiving Jesus. And that involves repenting of sin, and that can be fulfilled in my life and yours by looking to the Lord, turning to God from sin.
Explain to our listeners briefly, and I understand, and you understand what repentance means. What does the word repentance mean?
Repentance is a change of mind that affects not only our manner of our walk before God and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Change of mind, change of heart, change of direction. We could use
a
all
change.
Of those. Just change, yes.
We change our minds when we hear the Word of God.
Yes.
See, the Word of God so affects us that we will be willing to turn to God from sin. Now, many people think repentance is just a turning away from sin, but you can turn from one sin to another. You need to turn from sin to God.
Yes.
And looking in His direction. And that is one of the definitions of faith, looking to God. And so our part is to not only respond to the Word of God by hearing the Word of God, and God, through His Word, then imparts faith in us. And that allows us then to receive what God has promised. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then that implies a change, for we once rejected Him. The unsaved person refuses to receive the truth of the Word of God. The Bible tells us Jesus came unto His own, and His own received Him not. The religious leaders refused to hear or to receive His words. They refused the testimony of the Scriptures about who He is. They wouldn't receive the testimony of the works, the miracles He performed. They wouldn't accept the truth that He's the Son of God. They would not recognize Him as God. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. And like many people today, they will not receive the truth about Jesus, and they'll not believe until they hear and receive the truth. Truth is a necessary ingredient in the formula for faith. So this matter of being saved not only involves hearing the Word of God, but it means that we also accept or receive the truth, and that's what God uses to change us.
So when we hear the truth of the Word of God by the work of the Holy Spirit, then we repent of sin, receive the Savior, and we're born again, we're saved. Dr. Phelps, let's make a quick transition for the wrap-up of our broadcast today. If a person by faith says yes to Jesus Christ, that is, Bible saved, blood bought. We could go through the balance of the day talking about salvation, the wonderful scriptures that validate that biblically. But for the sake of our time on this broadcast, let's say that a person has believed in Christ, placed his faith in Christ, and the scripture says faith comes by hearing and by the word, and hearing by the word of God. So if a person has placed his faith and trust in Christ as Savior and as Lord, does that mean that he is sinless then?
The Bible tells us this in the book of 1 John chapter 2. Paul is writing to Christians. He's writing to believers. And he's telling us it's not the will of God that we sin. But here's what he says. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That word propitiation can be understood to mean a blood sacrifice. God demands that sin be paid for. So the Bible tells us about this matter of fellowship. Sin will ruin a believer's fellowship, but it will not send him to hell.
Good statement there. Let's make a premise and make some statements with that and ask some questions and respond to them. There are multitudes today in some denominations say that if you're saved today, that is, you've said yes to Jesus, Christ has saved you. If you think a wrong thought, do a wrong deed, which is called sin, then you're lost again and you must be saved again. Dr. Phelps, if Jesus Christ has the power to save us, is he in some way impotent and cannot keep us saved? Do we have to, once we've depended on him for salvation, do we then have to depend on ourselves to keep saved and to stay saved? There are a lot of people today that's confused with eternal security. Once saved, always saved. Explain that to our listeners today.
If a person is truly saved, then he has genuine faith. I call it biblical faith. And that's wholehearted confidence in the promises of God. God says he sent his Son to be our Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God begins the work of salvation in us. He continues the work of salvation in us, and he's going to complete the work of salvation. Christians need to deal with sin according to the Word of God when we sin. It doesn't mean that we're no longer a part of the family of God when we sin, but because John says these words, my little children, and those are words spoken to believers. These things write I unto you that you sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yes. In fact, it is wonderful to understand that I call it the believer's bathtub in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, and that little word confess is the unique word homologeo, that is to say, the same thing that God says. God says, you're a sinner. And we say, God, I'm a sinner. I've sinned. And we confess it. It's the believer's bathtub. Once we get saved, as the Bible explained it very, very clearly, once we've said yes to Christ, it doesn't mean that we're sinless. There's some that teach sinless perfection after salvation, simply untrue, unbiblical, and is not good or proper theology. But once we say yes to Christ as Savior, we're still sinners, and there's still going to be sin. But the result of that sin is that we're the Holy Spirit of God convicts us. We come back to God and say, I'm a sinner, forgive me, and cleanse me. And that is confessing our sins. David, when David sinned, and he'd committed murder, he'd committed adultery, and when he sinned, he didn't say, I've lost my salvation. He said he had lost his fellowship. So he said, in that Psalms 51, in fact, it's in Psalms 51 and verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. So, Dr. Phelps, wrap up our broadcast. We're trying to encourage our listener that if you're saved, there will be sin, needs to be confessed, and we're not going to lose our salvation. Wrap our thoughts up today on that subject.
The only sinless person in the universe is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we confess our sins, then we stand before God, then cleansed. We are told we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The Bible tells us again, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us, 1 John 1:10. And so when we do wrong, when we sin, according to the word of God, we are to confess our sins and be restored to fellowship with God.
Amen. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.